All right, Daniel chapter 7. We're going to look at one verse in verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, for your people that's here. Lord, we pray that you would help them. We pray that they'd find encouragement in the Word of God. If there's one here that is lost that needs to get saved, we pray they'd come to be saved today. Lord, I pray that you'd give each of us a burden and that for lost folk to witness and try to win those that are dying and going to hell, and that unto you. But Lord, while we preach, I pray that you'd anoint us afresh. Touch us. You know how we feel in body. We don't feel real bad. We don't may sound good, Lord, but we don't feel bad. And I pray that you would help us and to preach with clarity today. And Lord, I pray that you'd just take this message, let it speak to folks' heart, that they might find some comfort in the Word of God. Save that sinner's news tale. Touch and anoint afresh. And we'll give the glory for it all today. For these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You be seated today. As we look in Daniel chapter 7, this passage of Scripture, when he talks about speaking great words against the Most High, and going to wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given under his hand until time and times, and the dividing of times is referring to that to the Antichrist. This is during the tribulation period, and that when he is going to come, and the Antichrist is going to be for the devil, and he's going to think and act to speak out against the God of heaven. And listen, I mean, how arrogant and how conceited must a person be? And the devil knows, I mean, the Antichrist is going to be for the devil. And he's going to rise up and he's going to look to heaven. And he's going to think that he's greater than the God that is sitting on the throne that is in heaven. But the Bible said right here that he thinks to do something. And it said that he was going to do what? It said that he was going to wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, prophetically looking at this scripture, this refers back to the nation of Israel. We understand that. The church is gone. The church has been raptured out this time. Will not be here, but Israel, and that will be put back as God's people, and he's going to wear out the saints of God. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 24, when he talks about the tribulation period over there, it said, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So the Lord is going to protect and keep a remnant and that of the nation of Israel. We understand that. Mark 13. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen, he had shortened the days. So we find out that the Antichrist is going to wear out the saints of the Most High. But can I tell you today that there are some things that wear out the saints and that today. Do you understand what it means to wear out? If we use that word, wear out, it means to consume tediously. In the thought that we've wore out something, we've used it till it cannot be used anymore. It means to harass or to tire. It means to waste the strength of. Kind of like they wore us out in the ball game. Kind of like Jacob and Bob all wore us out last night over there playing in that cornhole. Ain't that right, Hunter? Amen. And I tell you what, him and Bethany wore us out too. Me and Jennifer thought we had it won, and she was celebrating, and I was just about to, and that joker won before we could turn around. But he wore us out. But then, you know, we come in and we say, I'm wore out from working. And I'm tired. I'm getting out. I'm just wore out and can't go any further. And a lot of you have said over the years to your children, when I get you home, I'm going to wear you out. And some of you did it before you got them home. But I want just to look and have a thought today on what wires out the child of God. Now, let me say by way of introduction today that sin is going to wear you out. I mean, that's just how it is. The Bible said that the way of a transgressor is hard. It'll make you old before your days. It'll cut you off from God. And I mean, it'll just make you miserable in your flesh and in your spirit and wear you out. And so I encourage you today to stay away from sin, to stay away from pride, to stay away from the ways that the flesh wants to go and line up and that with the Word of God. Amen. Hey, it's one thing to read your Bible, but it's another to heed and that what the Word of God says. Amen. Say amen right there, church. Help me out. Amen. It's going to wire you out if you're saved today. And let me say this, that even if you're not saved, sin's going to wire you out. Amen. That sinful lifestyle is going to get you. Amen. But we understand today and that we have two enemies that's against us. One, you're walking with it every day. You're in it. Your flesh. You realize your flesh is your enemy. You need to understand that. I forget who it was. They were talking about the devil. And they said, you know, the devil is my problem. And the preacher said, no. He said, I am my problem. And I'll be honest with you, old Mark Latham's all the devil that I need to have to deal with today. I mean, I've got enough problems in my flesh, let alone without the devil coming and pushing my buttons. Galatians 5:17 said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And it ain't that we can't live for God. That's not what he's saying right there. But he's saying there is an outer man that is fighting the inner man, and you're going to have to get your outer man under control before you can serve God. And I'll deal with that here in just a minute. The Bible says in James 1, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin was finished, bringeth forth death. And so we know that the way of a transgressor is hard. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But we also know that we have an adversary according to 1 Peter 5:8 in Satan himself. The Lord told Peter in Luke 22, he said, behold, he said, Simon, Simon. He said, Satan desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. So we understand that today. But three things I want to look at that wears out the child of God. Number one today, can I say that our wants will wire us out. What do you mean our wants will wire us out? Have you ever seen anybody that just wants and wants and wants? I mean, they never consider and what God might want out of their life. They never consider in that what they could do and that to serve God. But their fleshly lust and that and their desire drives them in this world right here. They barely have enough time to serve God. They barely have enough time to come to church. Hey, listen, they spoke that could have come this morning, but because of their fleshly desire, whether it was to lay in bed or whether it was to work or whether it was to do, did you pray for me? Whether it was to do what they wanted to do, their fleshly desire won out. Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs 30 this morning. Proverbs 30. Look at something that is never fulfilled. Look at something that is never, what would you say, that has enough. Proverbs 30. Look in verse 15. Proverbs 30:15 says, the horse leech hath two dogs crying, give, give, never satisfied. Said, there are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say it's not enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire saith it is not enough. Can I say that our flesh is the same way that verse 16 is? He said the grave is never satisfied. Listen, we're burying people every day. Why? Because death is never happy. Death is never satisfied. Listen, he said the barren womb, that one that's never, and that had a child, said she is never satisfied. The earth that is not filled with water, the earth when it is dry and it is in a drought season, you can pour all the water on it wants as you want to, and it'll just keep absorbing it and absorbing it and taking it. And then the fire, you can just keep feeding the fire and it'll keep going and it'll keep taking. But can I tell you today that our desire as a child of God in our self, our desire should be pleasing to the Lord. It's going to be a very simple message this morning. I want you, I'm not going to run deep by no means. But I want you to understand that the cares of this world and the riches of this world and the things of this world are going to keep you from serving God if you ain't careful. He said, preacher, I have no desire for those things. And that's good. I mean, hey, Matthew 13 said, he also that received seed among the thorns. It's talking about the sower. And he said, received it among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The Lord said again in Mark chapter 4, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entered in, choke out the word, and it becometh unfruitful. He talks about riches. He talks about cares of this world. And then he actually talks about the deceitfulness of riches. You know, it's kind of like people say, well, you know, riches is the root of all, or the money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. You know why God gives some people more money than others? Because they ain't in love with it. You know why some people can't handle money? Because they're in love with it. And God knows what they can handle and what they can't handle. God knows what you can do and what you can't do. Listen, some people say, well, boy, I'd like... somebody said, well, they got $1 million. I'd like to try that somehow. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd be afraid it might take me away from God if I had that. I don't know if I can handle it or not, but He knows what I can handle. But he said right here in Mark chapter 4, he said the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in. So we see that our wants can begin to wear us out and work against us and beat us down in our spiritual life. Too many people have sold out their spiritual life and that for money. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6 this morning. Take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy 6. And look in verse 6. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Hadn't coughed all morning until I got up to preach. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. I wish I'd have learned that when I was young. I'll be honest with you, I really do. And I'm still struggling to learn it right now, but I wish I would have learned that when I was younger. That godliness with contentment is great gain. Not money, not things, not possessions, but godliness with contentment. You know, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Well, when we begin to seek what He wants for us and not what we want for us, it changes everything. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. How many of us are that way? He said, the Lord don't want us to have things. And that ain't what I'm saying. He just don't want things to have you. That's the difference. You've heard me say that many things. Many times, it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. But when they have you, friend, then the Lord don't have you. He don't have you 100% at that time. Not that you ain't saved, but He ain't got you. He said, but they that will be rich, not are rich, they're striving to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, see there, they have erred from the faith. See what it made them do? See what the love of money done? See what the desire of having things of this world? It made them err from the faith. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so we see that not only is he going to cause them to err from the faith, but they have many sorrows. And as a matter of fact, the way Paul worded it right here, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he's going to bring pain, talking about being pierced, kind of like an arrow pierces through something. Those wants that we have, and listen, it's okay to strive for something as long as God's okay with it. I wish I'd learned to pray about things a whole lot earlier in life. I'm just being honest, and you may have. I didn't. I didn't learn to pray about certain things in life. You just go on and you say, well, you're just kind of out there wandering around. Kind of was at times, I guess you might say. Never given thought to what God might think about something, about purchasing this. But I know when we built our house, man, I gathered up around this altar right here and I talked to God about it. And I was sitting in my study looking over this last night and I thought, man, I wish I'd have gathered up around this altar and talked to him about how to build it. Why is that it? Man, we built that thing wrong. I mean, it just don't move or flow or do nothing like a good house will. And I thought, man, if I would have talked to him about that, do you really believe that, preacher? I really believe that. He could have gave me some wisdom and understanding on how to do some things if we would have just prayed to him about it. But instead, we got out a paper bag and a paper towel and started drawing, you know. And I mean, that's how it went. But our desires, he said right here, he said, they do what? They drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, look what he said down in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, do what? Flee these things. Run away from them. He says, you run away from them. He said, follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life, whereunto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, you just got to give up what your flesh wants and let God in that handle that thing. Follow Him. Follow Him. You say, preacher? And boy, I wouldn't have had near what I have if I would have done that. Now, I'm telling you, what you got's got you this morning, and it's wearing you out. Some people just can't serve God because of the things that they have. They've want and they've desired and they've got and they tried to have. Hey, take your Bible and go look at Numbers chapter 11. I want to show you something. I hope I'm making sense to you this morning. Numbers chapter 11. Can I tell you something today that if you want something, even outside of God's will, if you want something outside of God's will, man, y'all going to have to get to praying here. I'm choking up here. Numbers chapter 11, if you want something, and here the children of Israel, is God has given them manna to eat in the morning, and He has allowed them to have manna. They said, what means this? What is this thing? And I said, you know, it's about this big round, called it angel's food. And boy, they got to desiring meat. They got to want meat. Boy, they begged God for meat. And told Moses that day, they wanted meat. Give us meat to eat. And in verse 16, now listen, God knew they didn't need it, but here's what he done. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and there will I take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say unto the people, sanctify thyselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh and you shall eat. Now they're comparing some things back to when they were in Egypt. Now I've heard people say that, boy, after I got saved, I didn't have nothing when I was lost. And God blessed me and give me all this after I got saved. Boy, that's a great thing. I had to praise the Lord for what He's done for you and give you. But there's been some folks said, man, I've had more when I was lost that I've got now. You know why that is? Can't handle it now. And God took those things away. Maybe. Watch what he said in verse 19. You shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. He said, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils. He says, you're going to eat so much quail, it's going to come out of your nose. And it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now look in verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high on the face of the earth. Now let me get this in perspective for you. A day's journey ranges between 20 to 25 miles. And he said if you looked that way, 20 to 25 miles, there was quail laying on the ground. When you look this way, 20 to 25 miles, there's quail laying on the ground. And a cubit is 18 inches. And he said there's 2 cubits, that's 36 inches. So he said, as far as I could see that way, as far as I could see that way, there's quail laying on the ground some 3 feet deep. I believe God gave them what they wanted, don't you? Verse 32. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. Reckon that's happy. Well, we got what we wanted. We got what we desired. We got what we needed. Or what they thought they needed. In verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Sometimes you get what you want. But boy, after you get it, it ain't near what you thought it was going to be. And it'll begin to wire you out. And boy, you'll look at things and you'll say, man, I wish I'd have never done this. I wish I'd have never got this. I wish we'd have never bought this home. I wish we'd have never bought this car. I wish I'd have never tried to keep up with my neighbors, with my family, with my friends. Hey, me and my wife know some people right now. They have to keep up with a brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And listen, that brother-in-law and sister-in-law's got money. Got access to money. But these people over here don't. And they've mortgaged not only their whole future and their whole life. I mean, they're so far deep in debt. And I mean, they're saved people. I don't know better what they've done. Just to keep up with over here. Their child had this, so this child had to have that. Their oldest had this, so their oldest had to have that. It'll never work. I even thought as I was studying this right here, talking about wants and desires. Did you know that it's right for a man to want to have a woman for a mate or a woman to have a man for a mate? I mean, that's right, ain't it? I mean, we understand that. Hey, but let me tell you something. Just because of your desire and that to want a mate, to have a wife or to have a husband, you better be careful with that. You better get out on your knees and seek God. Try Him and say, is this the one that I need to spend the rest of my life with? I was talking to a gentleman the other day. He's a friend of mine, and he's in his 40s. He's never been married. And he's seeing this, we'll call her young lady. And he said, now, I'm not interested in dating all that long. He said, if I'm going to see her, we're going to get married. But he said, man, I'm a trying God right now to find out if that's what I need to do. I thought, man, that's the greatest thing that I've ever heard. He's just seeking God to see if she's the one that he needs to marry. There's a lot. I've got a friend of mine he was bound to determine in that to get married. And people was telling him not to marry her. I need to leave her alone. She's going to cause you trouble. And boy, after they had two little kids, I mean, she went off a deep end. I'm not making fun of her, but man, she is certifiable. She may be certified now. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, it's been nothing but trouble. He was a preacher. He was pastoring a church. And his ministry is ruined for the rest of his life. Why is that? Because of his want and desire to have a mate, I would dare say he did not talk to the Lord as much as he should. He's saying, "You're being awful judgmental, preacher." No, I'm just telling you, there are just a lot of important things in life that we get in too far of a hurry about without considering the Lord on some things. And without praying and fasting. And boy, I'm telling you, I wish I'd have learned some things early in life. But our wants will wire us out. Especially after we get them sometimes. But then our weariness will wear us out. What do you mean weariness? Don't that mean that you're already wore out? It does. Let me ask you something. How many of us ever said that I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired? I've had this for going on 2 months. I've coughed and I've spit and I've gagged and I've carried on for 2 months. And I'm tired of it. But you know what I'll do? I'll just keep doing it. That's what we're going to do. There's been many times that you've been sick and you said, "Man, I am just weary of being sick." How many of us, let me ask you this, as I sat down and thought about this, how many of you have faced death? And then just about the time that you got over facing the death of that loved one or that friend, or somebody that meant something special to you, it hit again. There's been men and women bury their mother, and then in less than 6 months, they've buried their father. In less than 6 months, they might have had to bury their spouse, and then in a short period of time, they might have had to bury a child. I'm going to tell you, death will make you weary, friend. Death will make you weary. It can wear you out if you let. Now I'm talking about what wires out. The same God, "Well, preacher, we know that the Lord will be there and that to help us understand those things." I know that. But if we let that, when Paul was talking about working for the Lord in Galatians 6:9, I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, let us not be weary in well doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. But Paul understood that there was going to be some things that was going to make us weary. He understood that. And weariness can wear us out if we'll let it. It's one thing to be tired. It's one thing in that to just, how would you put it, to be fatigued. But it's another when weariness sets in and it'll begin to wear us out if we'll let it. Job said in Job chapter 10, he said, "My soul is weary of my life." Reckon how bad Job had to be for him to make that statement, "My soul's tired. I'm weary of my life." I mean, Job has, and we use Job quite a bit because we've been studying him in Sunday school there in the young adult class, but I mean, he's lost everything short of losing his life. And when I say everything, I mean everything. He lost his home, he lost his finances, he lost his children, he lost all his possessions, he's basically lost his wife. She came out there and said, "Won't you just curse God and die? This stuff still retained thy integrity. Won't you curse God and die?" And he said, "Thou speakest one of the foolish women." So he's lost her, and all his friends are gone, and he had 3 friends left, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and they come out there and begin to talk to him and accuse him of being not right with God. So he's lost his friends. No wonder, and then he's lost his health. He's sitting there scratching him boils with that broken piece of pottery. And no wonder Job said, "My soul is weary of my life." I'm going to tell you, weariness can wear you out if you'll let it. It begins to work in our mind. It begins to bother us in our mind, and we'll begin to take what's in our mind and we'll begin to dwell on it and we'll begin to believe that there's nothing better that can happen. It's kind of like teaching Sunday school class with these little ones over here. And you wonder if they're getting it, you know. You go in on Sunday morning, some of you ladies do, and their mind is not on Sunday school. Their mind might be somewhere else. But that may happen with the adult class too, amen? Our mind might be somewhere else. And you ever wonder if these little ones are getting it. And you go home and you say to yourself, why do I even bother? Hey, Friday when I went to the... Listen, nursing home has been some of the places that I've had the best services in my life. But I was over there Friday feeling about like I do now. I went over there and sung 3 songs. I stopped up, came here just about like today. I looked around and man, I didn't know if nobody was getting anything. But I stood up to preach. I was preaching on what kind of day Calvary was. It was a sacrificial day. It was the Savior's day, and I preached on all those things. I thought, boy, when I get up to preach, it'll be good. And boy, as I went, it was dry and cracker juice. And I left out of there weary in my heart. But then the Lord reminded me, and I remember seeing Him. There was a man sitting over here just almost in front of me to my left that needed to get saved. And He said, that's why you go down there. No matter what you think out of it, no matter how weary you get in it, there was somebody there listening. And we're fixing a plan where we've got vacation Bible school planned. And if you ain't careful, you'll already be weary of vacation Bible school before it gets here. You'll worry yourself to death about how long it's going to take, about what if this goes wrong or this don't work. And listen, I'm right there with you. I think the same way. What happens if these don't show up or that? No. Hey, listen, we will weary ourselves to death worried about things that friend, that the Lord can handle and take care of. We'll weary ourselves. And weariness just wires us out. Number 3, our worries wire us out. Say, is that not the same as weariness? No, it's not. The word worry means to be harassed by care or anxiety. It means to vex. It's kind of like this in 1 Samuel chapter 1. When Hannah really wanted a man child, she wanted a little boy. That's Samuel's mother. And she hadn't had him yet. But the Bible said in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 1, and her adversary also provoked her soul. Now her adversary was Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah. Peninnah was her husband's other wife. He had 2 wives. I've learned one's enough. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Nobody helped me out. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. You know what that word fret means? It means to wire away at. And that thing just literally consumed her mind and wore away at her. Now I'm going to tell you, there's some things in this life that will consume our mind and begin to wire away at us. Whether it is grief, whether it is bitterness, whether it is how we're going to handle a problem or a situation, I'm going to tell you, God's people, I mean, we get more concerned about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and who's running things, and what kind of shape it's in, than those that are dying lost and going to hell. Hey, God's got Washington, D.C. under control. He's got it. Hey, read the book of Daniel over there. Nebuchadnezzar figured out, friend, after he spent 7 years eating dirt and eating grass in the rain and in the sunshine, he figured out that the God, the creator of this universe, was in control. Amen. And we worry more about what's going on up there than we do about what's going on in our own very life and our own very community around us with folk dying and going to hell about us. God help us. If I asked you how many of us has ever been worried, we'd all have to raise our hand, wouldn't we? been worried. Like I said at the beginning of the message, I got worried when they put me in that room and they were waiting on the doctor. And she said, now he'll be in with your pathology report just here in a minute. And man, I don't know why what she said bothered me, but that bothered me. And boy, it began to consume my mind. And I began to play every scenario about what happens if it's cancer. They said it wasn't cancer, but what happens if the biopsy come back and it showed that polyp that was down in my stomach is cancer? What begins to consume your mind? So we only had a minute or two. Yeah, you know what I should have been doing? Instead of being consumed in my mind, I ought to have been in our praying and thanking the Lord for the day and say, Lord, you just handle it. Instead of sitting there wringing my hands and worrying to death. You know what I've learned? You handle what you can handle, and the Lord handles the rest. Take your Bible and go to Psalms chapter 37. I want you to look with me. Psalms chapter 37. The Lord gives you the ability to handle some things. He does. He gives you wisdom and knowledge on how to do certain things. But in Psalms chapter, now I'm talking about what wires us out. What consumes us? What takes control of our life that we cannot and that perform our duties and that for the Lord? Psalms chapter 37, verse 1, there that word is again, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither is the green herb. Trust in the Lord, looky there. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. But then he gets to verse 3 and he tells us something to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. There that word is again, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Did you catch that? Over and over and over again, he said, fret not. Fret not. Fret not. We look at the world out there, and boy, we think they've got it made. We think that, man, they've got money, they've got possessions, they've got control, they've got it. Man, they ain't got nothing no more than what God's going to let them have. And then there's coming a day that he's going to wipe them out. If you look at one point, let me see if I can find it. Is it over here? Let me see. Is it in Psalms 37? There's at one point where he talks about in verse 35, he said, I've seen the wicked great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found. God's just going to cut the wicked down. We think they got it made. We think they got everything going their way. And friend, I'm going to be honest with you. We think they don't have any worries. But he said, fret not yourself because of. He said, trust in the Lord. And do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. He said, you trust in the Lord. When you worry, and I'd like to say, don't worry. And I'm going to tell you that, don't worry. But I've told the Lord here. That I've worried about a lot of things over the past few years. I've worried myself sick. I'm just tired of worrying. And I said, Lord, I don't know how not to worry. I don't know how. There's things that consume my mind that I don't know how to stop them. I don't know how to stop what consumes my mind. And here's what he said. Trust in the Lord. Boy, that's easy, ain't it? To say, a little hard to do sometimes, ain't it? But he said, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fit. Can I ask you something? Did you trust him enough to save your eternal soul? Right? Why can't we trust him enough just to handle things while we're down here? Delight thyself also in the Lord, And he shall give thee desires in thine heart. You know, when you delight yourself in the Lord. Now watch this here. Now we go back to the point number one. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, when you're right with God and you want to do things right. And you're delighting yourself in him. You know what? Your desires will be right. And he'll give you some things. Have you ever just got something from the Lord and you know you didn't deserve it, but he made a way for you to get it. And you know it was him all the time that done it. And he done it simply because you delighted in him, because you serve him and you follow him and you want to do right by him. And boy, because of that, God opened some doors and made a way for some things to happen. I told you the story of that one time when we were sitting in line out at the Crystals, didn't I? And my wife ordered one of them little hot dogs. Did I tell y'all that story? I think I've told y'all. I'll tell it again. It's pretty good. I like it. I was sitting over there and I had got me a crystal. And you say, you think the Lord gets involved in eating crystals? I hope he does, man. I hope he does. But as we was going through the line, I thought to myself, man, I'd love to have one of them little hot dogs that she just ordered. And I wasn't going to eat hers. That wouldn't be right, would it? And I thought, man, I'd love to have one. So we pulled up there to the window and that little girl handed us the bag and I was looking in the bag and I said, hey, you give us one too many of these little hot dogs. She said, just take it on, it's yours. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I believe the Lord just gave me the desire of my heart that night to let me have one of them little hot dogs right there. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. There that word trust is again. And he shall bring it to pass. So instead of fretting, we just commit thy way. Whatever we're going to do, we're going to serve God. No matter what, we're going to serve God. We're going to commit our way unto the Lord. Our home's going to serve God. I'm going to serve God on the job. My children are going to serve God while they're under my roof. That's what's going to happen. And he said, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Listen, that is something very hard to do. Rest in him and wait patiently for him. I'm still waiting on the Lord to do some things for me. Even right now, I'm waiting on the Lord to come by and do some things. And you know what I'm going to try my best to do while I'm waiting? I'm going to rest in him to know that he's going to bring it to pass. You may be worried today about certain things. It may be the way it's your heart, it's your mind. It's wearing you out. But 1 Peter 5 and 7 said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Something easy said, but sometimes hard to do. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. We won't have no music today, but if you need to come, I want you to come. What's wearing you out? Is your wants got the better of you today? Hey, some people just want to be so right. I mean, they're going to be right no matter what happens. And it's going to wire the situation out. Hey, some people just got a desire and have. I hope that ain't you this morning. I hope it ain't. Give your desires and that to the Lord. Just give your desires to him and he'll bring it to pass. What he wants you to have. What about your weariness? Is weariness wearing you out? Grief, bitterness, sorrow. I mean, it'll just consume you just like worry will. And it'll just begin to wire you out. And friend, we don't. And then all this, when we get wore out, we ain't no good for the Lord, you see. We ain't no good for him. I want you to come if you need to pray. What are you worried about this morning? Let me tell you this. If you're worried about going to heaven, then I want to encourage you to come and get saved today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's worry there, say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know what would happen if I die. I don't know right now. Won't you come up here and gather around this altar and just get some peace and comfort about what would happen when you leave out of here, friend? When you leave out of here, why don't you get that? But for the child of God, listen, let him handle it. Let him be in control of it. And he can handle it today, if you would. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come today. Anybody in the house?